Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. I want to say good evening to each and every one of you. And I want to say welcome to Only Believe right here at Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just am so thankful for what God has done and is doing. Amen. I tell you what, even in this year, I tell you what, our Lord has been faithful. He's been a blessing, and God has us in his hands. Amen. I want you to know that there are just things happening. God is blessing and doing what he does. And I tell you what, God is faithful. Don't give up. Don't ever lose hope, because I'm telling you, even right now, the Lord is working on your behalf. Amen. So let's just join in tonight, and we're going to stand and worship and just celebrate God tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Great.
Amen. Stand your feet with us tonight.
Now count all the things. Thank God who never fails. When I fail me now, he won't fail me now. When I'm waiting, thank God who's never late. He's working all things out. Working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Sing God who never fails, will not fail me now. He won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. He's working all things out. Yes, I will let you higher in the lowest valley. Your name, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy and all my days. Oh, yes, I will pour all my days. Oh, yes, I will pour all my days. Yes, I will.
We're going to sing a Christmas song tonight. This is one that our Bakken's campus wrote a couple years ago. All earth was waiting for a baby. He shall be called Prophets foretold of, knew he would come, knew he would come. Light of the world, the Savior is born, our King Emmanuel. Jesus is Lord. We will rejoice. He has come to save us. Sing that again, light. Light of the world, the Savior is born. Our King Emmanuel. Jesus is Lord. We will rejoice. He has come to save us. All earth was waiting for a baby. He shall be called Emmanuel. And he is the one who prophets foretold of, knew he would come. Knew he would come. Light of the world, the Savior is born. Our King Emmanuel. Jesus is Lord. We will rejoice. He has come to save us. Light of the world, the Savior is come, our King Emmanuel. Jesus is Lord, we will rejoice, he has come to save us. Will you join us and sing, O come?
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ. Oh, come, let us adore.
sing it together tonight. Oh, come.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Savior is born, our King Emmanuel. Jesus is Lord, we will rejoice, he has come to save us. He has come to save us. Come to save us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness. You could have changed your mind at any point, but you sent your son anyway. Thank you for your faithfulness.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you. assume God, oh, we are. Give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume God, oh, we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you.
Come and consume God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you.
We need you, Lord.
We want you. Come and consume God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want.
As we were singing the come and consume me, you know, we start out singing it lower and then we intensify. And some people think, why do you have to intensify? Why do you have to get so loud? Because there are moments in your fight where this is enough, right? There are moments in your fight that talking like this and being like this and being calm, it's okay. This is going to get you through. But I'm telling you, I've been in some dog fights in my walk with Christ. The enemy thought he's trying to take me out so many times. And sometimes I've got to get intense with my faith and really just tell God. It's like, have you ever just wanted to get into a field and just scream and just shout because you got to get it out? That's why we intensify. Because there's sometimes it's okay. Come and consume God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. But other times, that's just not going to cut it for me. It's not God who needs it louder. He doesn't. I do. My voice needs to scream out to the Lord. My spirit, it says to shout unto the Lord. I'm not shouting at God. I'm shouting to God. Amen? So then in times when I'm in that battle, when I'm feeling that pressure, it's come and consume God, all we are. We give you permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. You think we sing loud in here? You should hear us in our homes. Listen, there are times it's okay. It's okay for your voice to get loud. It's okay for you to shout to your God, not at your God, but to your God. Amen? It's okay. Because I'm telling you what, there's going to be a power that goes through you in those times. If you've never done it, go find you. Now, don't do it in front of people because they're going to think you're crazy. Amen? Those people with them white jackets might show up. Go find you a place if you need it, and just shout to the Lord. And you say, I just want to scream, though. I want to scream in anger. No, no, no. Why don't you take that anger from your battle that you're facing and shout praises to your God? We've been there. I've been there. I've had a mother that's passed away on me. Now, I've never experienced a child passing away, and thank God I never will. But I'm telling you, there are times that things come against you so hard that you just need to shout. And I needed to shout to my God about how good he was and remind myself of who he is. Because it's not him that still kills and comes to destroy. It's the enemy. The enemy's plan, though, is in that tragedy to make you a tragedy. Let's not let him make us a tragedy. Let's use our voice and let's shout to the Lord. Amen. About how good he is, how good he's been. When you think about the story of Jesus alone coming to this earth, if you looked at this earth right this minute, would you send your son to die for anybody on it? The faithfulness of our God. The faithfulness. Listen, I just heard a testimony, and I'm not going to tell you because it's not mine to tell, but I just heard a testimony that just has me so fired up, I can hardly stand it. The faithfulness of God. Every single one of you are here because of the faithfulness of God. And whether they know it out there or not, every single person is on this earth because of the faithfulness of God. Amen? Man. Yes, you're just going to have to bear with me. I'm just grateful today. I'm thankful. I'm excited about what God's doing. I don't care what's going on in the world. I know what God is doing. I know how God is moving. I know what his promises are to us. I know what he has said he's going to do. And I know that his word doesn't return to him void. That the righteous, we've never seen them forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. There's no reason for us to fear because he's not given that. He's not put that on us. He said he's given us a sound mind. Amen. He said that he'll provide for our every need, not even considering your want. He says, ask me what you want. He says, I'll provide for your need. Out of my goodness, out of my mercy, out of what I have, I'll provide for your need. Now ask what you want. What he's telling you is, you need to breathe. I'm going to provide air for you to breathe. You need a house to live in. I'm going to provide a house for you to live in. Amen. You need food in your belly? I'll provide that for you too. What do you want? Ask me what you want. So we got a God that doesn't just start here and stay here. He just starts here for your faith inside of you and starts building you up to who he really is. And there's no man that's reached that because he's so beyond our thinking. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. His ways are so beyond our ways. Listen, there's nothing going on in this world today that surprises God, has caught him off guard, and he's not already made in a way of escape for his people. Amen? Amen. I'm done. Come on. Come on. Come on.
You just keep going.
I am full, but I'm full because of Amen. The goodness of God. Because God, you can sit down. God is so good. God is so good. And we shouldn't just be thankful when we're coming up on these things. But man, if I could tell you the testimony, but I can't. I'm sorry. I don't mean to play with your emotions right now on this. But it's a good testimony. But I can't. But you would understand why I'm so full. Phil, I'm not doing anything. Get up here. I'm just talking till you get up here. He's been doing this thing. He's going to make me preach. I just think we need to stop putting maybe I do I just think yeah children you can go teens we'll see you later too have fun
Maybe they needed to hear what I was going to say, because we think that they don't understand as much as they do. They do. Let me tell you what, we got some kids that can lay hands on you, and the power of God comes. Amen. I saw a little girl from our church making a war room for herself, moving her clothes aside in her closet and putting her little self a war room up. You think those kids aren't getting it or don't know, or that you shouldn't expect anything out of them? You're wrong. You're wrong. Jesus, at the age of 12, when they had to go to be counted for the consensus, is what we call it today. I don't know what they called it back then. The census, not consensus, census. They had to be counted. So when they were in Jerusalem, Jesus gets lost from his parents. Not really lost. To them, they're lost. But he's been sitting with them for 3 days, teaching them the word of God at 12 years old. Well, that's Jesus. Jesus was a man like you and me, believe it or not. If you'd have poked his skin, he would have bled too. Jesus did what his father told him to do. He was obedient, just like we're supposed to be obedient. But I just, man, I don't know, Fabe. I don't know that I have anymore. I wasn't prepared for this. This is just all in my spirit, just it's boiling over. That if you're in a tough time, why do we allow the enemy to make us think that we're less than, just be going, because we're going through a tough time? I don't want you to raise your hand up. But how many of us in here have thought, just because heartache or situations, a bad situation has come up, or we've gone through this tough valley, that we must have done something wrong? That I'm just not good enough, that I've failed again, that God, what am I doing wrong this time? I'm a self-reflector, as much as I hate it. I will self-reflect until the cows come home. Every conversation I have, man, should I have said that? Man, Regina, did you have to be that, like that? Did they understand you were kidding? Did they understand this? Like, I'm a self-reflector to a fault. And some of us are just too hard on ourselves. The Lord is telling me to tell you that some of you are just too hard on yourselves. That he sees what you're doing. He sees the progress you've made. And he's pleased with you. And he wants you to keep walking. Amen. He don't want you to sit down. He don't want you to rest. He wants you to keep walking. Because in the moment that you sit down and that you rest, that's when your mind starts to wander. That's when your mind allows the enemy to come in. And that's when he's allowed to start making you feel like, what have I done wrong? Why am I such a failure? What's wrong with me? Why can't I get this right? God, why would you even want me in the first place? Man, I just wish I wasn't even. Why did you even create me? Can I just not exist anymore? Can I just not exist? Because if I stop doing what I'm doing, I'm going to hell. Right? But if you just make me not exist anymore, then I'll never know, because I'm not here anymore, God. Can't you just do that? Isn't that a crazy conversation to have with God? I've had that conversation with God. Isn't that crazy? All because we come to a bad part in our life and we think we've done it or we deserve it. Let me tell you what. John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Amen? Life more abundantly. That means in those times where we feel that, I just sent out some scriptures today. 2 Corinthians, 10:5, where it talks about not allowing the thoughts of the enemy to come in. It tells you what to think on. In Philippians, tells you what to think on. Yeah, I don't have a Bible. You made me come up here and do this, and you just think I'm going to remember all this stuff right on the spot. Like, God, what did I do to deserve this? No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. I just think we're entering a time of his birth, and all the time we should be praising him and thanking him and glorifying him. Amen? But at this time, I just think, man, and then I got the testimony that I got today, which is amazing. If you're watching, I'm so in awe of God again because of you. But what did you give me? 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the kingdom of God, and bringing bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That just means quit allowing the enemy to run every thought through your head and you dwell on that thought. Listen, darts are coming, right? The enemy, the word says that the fiery darts of the enemy are going to come to put on the helmet of salvation, to stop the darts, to bring the shield to help, the shield of faith to stop the darts. That means don't think on it. Why are you giving place to what the enemy wants you to think on? Well, how do I know it's what the enemy wants me to think on? Does it glorify Christ? Does it lift you up? Does it lift your family up? Is your character or nature reflecting the fruits of the Spirit? There are some passages that talk about, man, I wish I had my notebook because I do have this written down. But here, Phil, find it for me. It's the sower sows the word. It, the ground talks about the ground being different. I was reading this last weekend here when we was in here on Thursday. You want to know what kind of Christian you are? Put yourself up next to the word. Right? Right? When I'm mad at somebody, do I come after them? If I do, then that means that I have a stony heart, that I've not allowed the things that I've heard of the word to settle in, right? And to get my heart in the soil of my heart soft enough and palatable enough to take in that seed and to grow that seed the way it's supposed to be. It means it fell, it's too stony to grow, and it doesn't grow. If I'm getting mad and angry at every person because they don't do what I want them to do, how I want them to do it, or they're in my way when I'm driving down the highway and they won't get out of my way. I mean, if we constantly have anger coming out of us, then we know that's not a fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want to pretend like sometimes it's righteous indignation and make it something in the Word of God. Come on, y'all, I'm not alone. I know you have to. Okay, and we're looking in Mark 4:14. It says, the sower sowed the word, and these are by the wayside, and the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan come immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Preach it, Pastor. That's right. That's good. Preach it, Pastor. You immediately receive that word. Now I got to find out where I'm at. I have no glasses on. A and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for word's sake, immediately they are offended. So it means I can hear the word and I know it's a good word. I know it's a truth word. But you know what makes it not stick? Because the only time I'm hearing that word is sitting in that seat. The only time I'm spending any time with God is during that worship time where you all are singing up there and praising. It means that you have no foundation in the word. That looks a lot better. Are in time with Christ for that to seed and get in there and to be settled in. Amen. And so then your behaviors won't begin reflecting his behavior. You know, our son acts like us because he spent time with us. Amen. If you ever see or have heard Pastor Dosik, our pastor, the apostle of this house, and you hear your pastor, you will hear a very distinct similarity between the two. You cannot deny it. Why is that? Because that's the spiritual father that God has placed in Phil's life, and he has spent some time with his spiritual father, and he acts like him. Oh, pastor's not watching. Lord, help me. I love you, pastor. I love that he preaches like him. I love that he's miracles and is passionate and seeks the Lord, but just don't personally. No, I'm just, man, we're not keeping this on the air. No, I'm just messing with my pastor. I love him. I'm thankful and grateful for him. I'm grateful that he's a man that lives the word in front of his and always has. Amen? Okay, what's the next one? And these which are sown among us the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You get so, the world gets so caught up in itself, and I'm doing good now. I've got money in my pocket. I'm paying my bills. I have nothing that's hurting me, like nothing that's coming at me. I don't have any wants in my life. My marriage is going good. So that's when we back off and don't seek God as much. Don't think we need him as much as we did when we were in our tough place. Let me tell you something. There's not a time that you don't need God just as much as you did the minute before this. Doesn't matter how good you're doing in your life. Doesn't matter how good your marriage is. Doesn't matter how good your kids are. Everything could be solid in your life. You'll always, always need God. There's not a time you don't. Think of where you were before you had him. Before you knew who he was and before Jesus was your Savior. You're lucky your pastor's alive. Let's be real. Y'all didn't know me back then, but you know me now. Just imagine the roughness without Jesus. It's scary. It was scary. We was going down the road one time. I am not proud of this, but I'm just telling you, this is me without Jesus. You think that Jesus doesn't change people? We're going down the road, and don't dare look in my car at he wasn't my husband at the time, but my man, we'll say it that way, if you're another woman, and stare at him for more than 2 seconds, because I was ready to fight you. Stupidest thing in the world, I know it. Stupidest thing. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But let me tell you, I was ready to jump out of a car several occasions. Literally had the door open, and Phil had to speed away so that I didn't go over and grab somebody out of a car and beat them down. Now, could you even imagine me doing that today? I better hear all no's. That's right. Jesus hasn't worked this long on me for y'all still to say yes. It's because as his word's gotten in and as I've spent time with him, that he's been able to take out those things and he's been able to put in me who he is, his characteristics. Now, we all know, I don't even have to say this, I got a long way to go, but we're getting there. Amen. Step by step. And these are they which are sown on the ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So you want to know where you are in your walk with Christ? Just look at the word. Don't allow the thoughts to come in. Don't allow things to bombard you, other people's voice to bombard you. Look at the word. Compare yourself to that passage and say, where am I at? And be honest with yourself. It's not for condemnation's sake. It's for growth's sake. Amen? I am convinced that people that do certain things that they do, like say, I'll just use me for an example because we got 100 million examples right here in this little body. Say if they're controlling. He might be hurt after we're done today. But say they're controlling. I believe that they're only that way because they don't, and they're Christians and they serve God, and you see fruits in their life. Now, I'm not talking about the world. I'm not talking about people without Jesus, okay? That's a different, it's two different. You can't expect the world that's not saved to act like Jesus. You can't. You can't expect them to follow after. They're going to do what they do because they are sinners. But Christians, I am convinced the only reason people do what they do and they shouldn't do is because they don't see it yet. You don't see in yourself that you're a controller or that you're an angry person or that you're arrogant. Or that you are selfish. Or that you just are not caring towards situations you should be caring towards. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? I'm just using a bunch of different examples. I've been guilty of all of these. Maybe yesterday. Not all of them, but a couple of them. No, I'm getting better. But I'm convinced it's because we don't see it. Because why would I want to behave that way? Why would I want to treat another person that way if I saw it? So that's why I think that on a regular basis we get with the word. Now, don't be like me and every word you say, every conversation you have, you just overthink it. But get in the word and say, God, show me. Where am I at? Where was I at this week? Was I the ground that just blew away, the seed just automatically just went and didn't stick? Was I the thorny? Was I the stony? Or was I the good ground this week? What is it that I can change? Now listen, I don't know how often I do that, but I do it. But he will not show you something that is going to break you or tear you down. That is not who God is. Yes, when you ask people and you talk to people, their motive may be different than God's motive. God's motive is to love you and to bring you closer to him and to keep you further away from the enemy and allowing his influence or his hands to be able to get on you. Because if I am constantly mean to Phil, how can I say I'm a child of the living God? How can I say that I love God, but I can't love my husband who he's given me? How can I say I love God and I'm obedient and I'm going to do what you ask me to do, God, but I can't do what my husband asked me to do? Or I can't do what Linda as a leader in this church asked me to do? Or Jared or Philip or Trey, he's a leader, he does the board. How am I going to say that I love you, God, but consistently do things that don't line up with what he says? How can I say I love you, God, and bash people on Facebook? Listen, we have to do this nowadays. We said, we've had this talk, I don't know how many times, and I've talked to Linda, I think I've talked to Angel about this. It's a different world out there. My generation didn't have to deal with this. Raising my kids had nothing to do with the internet, had nothing to do with a phone in his hand 24/7, had nothing to do with any of this stuff. But you're faced with this stuff today, young couples that have kids. This is your life. And my generation has never had to worry about having a so-called free platform to say whatever we wanted to say, whenever we wanted to say it. In my day, and this is still my day, by the way, not that one, but in my younger day, how's that? If you didn't like somebody or you didn't like what they did, you'd post it all over anything. You went and talked to them, which, by the way, is what the Word of God says. If you have aught against somebody or you know they have aught against you, take it to them. Not in front of millions of people. This is a one-on-one thing. And it says, and if they don't hear you, which he never hears me. Bless the Lord. It says, Shane, I'm going to take you. Take somebody with you. Does it not? Take somebody with you and tell them again.
Amen.
Hold him accountable for what he's done. If he don't hear you, take somebody with you. Shane, don't you agree with me?
I 100%.
Okay, now I got to get somebody else. Because now act like we're Logan that's not agreeing with. Because now I got to use Phil. And if they still won't agree with you, now you get your pastor involved.
Uh-oh.
I can't do it to himself. And my pastor ain't here, so. Trust me, I would get Pastor Dosick involved in a heartbeat. Now, Pastor Phil, I've gone to him. I've taken Shane with me.
Whoa.
And the boy still won't admit and change his way. No. Let me tell you what. I mess with this boy a lot, and I call him a boy. He's a man. With four babies, you're definitely a man.
Amen.
But this is my son.
Amen.
This is my son. You can't mess with him. I can mess with him, and I can hit him, but it's all in love.
Amen.
This is my boy. Amen? Amen. Make no mistake. I mess with Logan a lot, but that's my heart right there. So that's what the word says. And then I can use Phil for this one. He's not pastor anymore, okay? Then it says, if they still won't hear you, take him in front of the church. If he won't repent, if he's done wrong, if he's sinned, and he won't repent, and he won't straighten up, and he won't stop what he's doing, and he won't line up with the Word of God, take him in front of the church and kick him out to save his soul.
Oh my goodness.
That's what the Word of God says.
Amen.
You can sit down, sinner. No, just kidding, live stream. I'm just teasing. I hope you all know that when I'm messing with him, we joke a lot. But that is what the Word of God says. That is what the Word of God says to do. I don't know about y'all. I didn't hear one word about Facebook on that. I didn't hear one word about calling somebody out and telling them how wrong they are or how they upset you or what bad service they gave you. Are we a reflection of Christ or are we not? Are you a servant of God, or are you not? Look at the fruit that you have in your life. Because if I'm doing that and calling anybody out on anybody, I don't care. If I'm calling anybody out on Facebook, it's wrong. Because that's not what the Word says. And so now I have to, if I am, repent. This ain't a condemnation thing. We repent. We turn. That means don't do it no more. Simple, simple terms. I'll give you Regina first grade terms because that's how I understand. Don't do it again. and start walking in the way that God has for you to walk. And start behaving the way he wants you to behave. Repent, ask him forgiveness, say, I'm sorry. You might have to reach out to the person you did it to and say, you know what? That was not a reflection of Christ. I want to apologize to you for doing that. I've removed it from my thing, wall, post, whatever. I removed it, and you won't see anything like that from me ever again. Because that is not a reflection of Christ. We want the world to come to Jesus, and they don't even know what he looks like some days. Is he the kind, sweet person that's posting scriptures and loving on people and praying for people? Or is he the mean, evil person that gets mad at somebody just because they don't treat him right? We're his reflection, are we not? If we're not his children, are we not his reflection? Listen, you are to the world. You're the Jesus he may see, they may see. We are not talking about just somebody being confused and maybe hurt about what we've posted. Have you ever heard a church hurt? Some of you've had it. I've had it. They ever created something called pastor hurt? I've had that too. It don't matter. Because that hurt is not something God did to me. It's not something Christ has for me. So why would I allow that to stop me from an eternity with Jesus? Or stop me from being an example for somebody else to spend eternity with Jesus? There are people out there that are lost and dying, and hell's being enlarged daily. As children of God, that should be enough for us to watch our words, to watch our actions. Should be enough alone. Some of us in this room, I'll bet all of us in this room, has family members that aren't saved. And I wish we all could say, just watch my walk and that'll get that person saved. I've messed up with my brother. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been about 5 or 6 years ago that I messed up with him. And I'm just in prayer for God to restore and heal. And I know he will. And I'm going to be that example that opens up a door for an atheist brother to walk into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And hear from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what my brother's going to hear. Amen. I want your family to hear that. I want the world to hear that. I don't want one more soul to go into an eternity of hell. Now, it is their choice. They choose what they do. God ain't sending them there. You ain't sending them there. Their choice is their own. But your actions and the way that you are or aren't can help them see him quicker. Amen? And I think it is our responsibility as the body of Christ to be the example for all of them. Now, are we going to be perfect? No, I'm not a nurturer. Who in here is a nurturer? Stacy, you're a nurturer, aren't you? I am not a nurturer. It's different personalities. Stacy is so needed. Because if I'm in a circle, she's going to know what to do when I'm just, getting them pumped up and saying, come on, you can do this. I'm the encourager. I'm going to give you strength, but I'm going to forget that you need hugged while you're getting your strength. Does that make sense? Because I'm the fighter. What you are in the world is what you are in the kingdom. I'm the fighter. There's always a way out. There's always a way to win. There's always a way. And when you read the word and you find out in the end we win, there's always a way out of a situation. We just have to do it the word's way. That's what my brain says. There's always a way out. When I was in the world and I played sports, if we were tied, give me the ball. I'll score. Let me up to bat. Hope it's my bat. I'm not afraid. I'll do it. And that's why I am in the kingdom. with your fight. You need prayer? Tell me what your prayer is. What do you got going on? Do I need to fast for you? Because I'll fast for you. That's the way I am in the kingdom for you. Now, I'm less like that for myself because you get a little lazy when it's for yourself. And Phil's, that's Phil's job, right? He's supposed to do that stuff for me. He's supposed to cover me. All right, I'm done. I just feel like I'm talking too much. Oh. I just want us to stop, and the Lord wants us to stop accepting what the enemy's doing, to rise up, be who you are in him, do things according to his word. Don't weigh yourself next to the sinner. Weigh yourself next to the word. Don't weigh yourself next to somebody who doesn't even know what the word says and say, man, I'm just this, I'm just that. Yes, you are. You are too rough. You are too rude. You say things too harsh. If you're a sinner and you're hearing from a saved person that your lifestyle is not pleasing to God and you need Jesus because that's the only way to heaven, that sounds pretty harsh. They don't hear with the same ears that you hear through. They don't understand that your words are coming from a place of love and compassion and wanting them to be saved, correct? So yes, your words do sound harsh to them. Yes, you do sound discompassionate to them because they don't understand the heart of a Christian until they are one. They don't understand the heart of the Father until they're a child of the Father. Amen? So don't ask a sinner how you're doing. Don't measure up to a standard that you're far above, because Christ's thoughts are far above. His ways are far above. And so we're supposed to be far above. Amen? Now, if you keep preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching the gospel, I don't know, it just looked like water was coming out of that. And you have saved people tell you that you're sounding too harsh when you do it, maybe you should go to God. Amen? If you're talking to somebody who's unsaved and they're running from you crying every single time and you're not getting anybody saved, maybe you should ask God or ask somebody to go along with you to help you balance until you understand how to properly talk to somebody. Because we can be pretty intense as Christians. We went through training for it. Because I don't know if you've met me, but even now I say things too straightforward. And we needed help. I needed help not to do that. Hey, you're going to hell. Do you have Jesus? Listen, no. I was talking to a couple one time who weren't married, had been married once. We're living together now, but weren't married. And he was calling her his wife. I had the best intentions, y'all. But I said, that ain't your wife. You're living in sin. You're nothing but an adulterer because you're sitting there sleeping with somebody that ain't your wife. Don't call her your wife when she ain't your wife. You ain't married in the eyes of God. You ain't gone even to the justice people. You ain't married. Needless to say, that person hasn't liked me most of my life. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's not how you do it. That was wrong. As much as my intentions was to slap that man in the head and wake him up out of the sleep or slumber that he's in and the blindness that he's got on him, that was not the way to do it. That was more, you're wrong, slap you in the head, than, honey, this is how it works. This is love. Listen, I don't even know where I went where. Okay. Well, we're going to pray. Amen. I think I saw somebody. Phil, come do offering. and pray. I just think that the Lord wants is, what am I getting out of this all today? I've rambled. I feel like I've rambled. I can't believe Phil let me ramble. It's his fault. But I just want us to know that there's a better way that God wants us to be. And it's not because when he looks at us, he sees anything other than his children. It's because there's a lost and dying world out there that needs us to be who he has created us to be. He needs our walk to line up with our words. He needs our walk to be a beacon of light to people that are unsaved. We have a person in this congregation at her workplace has people coming up to her on a regular basis asking her if they can talk to her. And when they talk to her, it's always about Jesus. That's what we need to be. We need to be a beacon of light for Jesus. And we need to make sure that our actions line up with what we're saying our walk is. Amen.
Praise God. Let's give Miss Pastor Regina a hand. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, we have a couple prayer requests, so we're going to pray for those. Father, in the name of Jesus, we put Haley before you, God. And God, we curse this condition, God, pancreatitis. Father, Lord, we pray healing in the name of Jesus. God, we loose the working of miracles and healing to flow. And right now we pray for Braden, God, and we break the flu off of him, Father. Lord, we ask this virus to go in Jesus' name. We loose healing into him. And Father, right now we pray for Kansas, Father, concerning housing, parenting, Father. And God, most importantly, that salvation would overtake her, Father. Lord, that God, you would lead her and guide her, God, and rescue her, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. And God, we pray for Mona's grandbaby, Father. Lord, God, we curse RSV or whatever is going on, Father. Lord, we ask you to heal this dear child, Father. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want to remind you that this week coming up, we have our Christmas Eve service, amen? And it's going to start at 6:30 next Thursday. So we're going to have a great service on Sunday. Then we're going to be here on Christmas Eve. We're just going to have a short celebratory service like we always do. And we got people that are going to sing for you. I think we're going to have a special request over there. Woo! Carrie, you can sing. No. But anyhow, the Lord is going to be good. It's going to be a great service. And as we close out here, we're just going to give you a chance to give your offering tonight. And I'm just going to pray blessing over that. And I just thank God for us being saved. I want you to know, as the world unfolds and as you see all this going on, man, it should just confirm to you as a Christian, you should hold on to the foundations of your faith stronger than ever, because you are seeing unfolding what the Bible has told us. Amen? So we're just going to pray over the offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we close out tonight, Father, Lord, I thank you that we get the opportunity, God, to give, Father. The Bible says it's better to give than to receive. And Lord, I thank you, God, that as we give, God, you touch everything that we give to you, Father. Lord, you put your blessing and your hand upon us, God, and you help us in many different ways. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. I just want to give a quick testimony. You know, the last week or two, I've been praying about bonuses and money coming in, inheritance coming in, bills being canceled. I want you to know that I already received a testimony about some medical bills being canceled. And tonight I received a testimony that someone said, hey, we're getting a bonus that our company never even said they were going to give bonuses, but they are going to receive a bonus this week because obviously probably for the coronavirus working through all that. But it's just a blessing out there. God is doing something for all of us who believe. So let's just keep it up. Amen. God bless you all.